Well, good morning, guys. It is good to be with you guys this week. Last week, Aubrey and I were in Cleveland, Ohio. Who was that? Cleveland, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Cleveland, Ohio. So the Christian and Missionary Alliance, which is the movement of churches that our church is connected to and a part of, hosted their first ever Young Adults Conference. And so that was just an awesome opportunity to get to be there. Aubrey and I were there as part of about 300 to 400 young adults who were gathering, worshiping Jesus, seeking his face, responding to what he was doing in them. And it was an incredible weekend. Like, honestly, as we've been reflecting back, we've just seen and gotten to watch God move in some incredible ways. People receiving healing, breaking chains of unforgiveness, people repenting, confessing, turning in surrender to Christ. It was just really encouraging, and I felt like I was watching our Transform series come to life. Like, the things that we've been talking about the last few weeks, I was watching God move in that way in people's hearts and in my heart. And if you're new with us, or if you haven't been around for the last few weeks, we've been walking through this series called Transformed, walking through how when we look to Jesus, when we walk in relationship with him, he transforms us, he changes us, he brings us into more of himself and greater fullness in him, and he leads us to leave things behind. And at that conference, I got to watch Jesus do what I'm preaching on today in people as well. So we're going to be talking about forgiveness and moving from unforgiveness to forgiveness and looking at what Jesus has to say about that. So we're going to be looking at Matthew 18, 21 through 35. So we'll get there in a little bit. But first of all, as you're turning there, raise your hand if you've ever been hurt by someone. Wow. Okay. Yeah. What about someone that you love, someone that you trust? Yeah, it's impossible to avoid that. We live in a broken world with broken people that we are hurt by. We hurt others, even people that we love. And this is a topic that is probably pretty weighty for some of us. Like, some of us have been hurt in incredibly deep ways. But we're going to look at what Jesus has to say and the hope that he offers in this. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll dig into the scripture. Father, I thank you that you have forgiven us, first of all. I thank you for that incredible time of worship, of just being reminded of the incredible debt that you have canceled in our lives, the sin that you have forgiven us of. And I thank you for bringing us from death to life, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you, and we thank you that you are still doing that in people. God, I just ask that this morning our hearts would be open. Lord, would you position us to receive your word and whatever you have to say, whatever you point to. Holy Spirit, soften our hearts, open us, and I pray that you would just speak to us what we need to do about this as we're reading the word. God, I just ask that you would use me in my weakness, and would your power be on me as I teach your word. So Lord, I just thank you for being here. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so let's start in Matthew 18, 21. So it says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times.'" Or some translations will say 70 times seven. So let's just stop right there. First of all, we got Peter, good old teacher's pet. And he's got this great merciful statement of like, I'm going to forgive someone seven times, or how many times should we forgive? And he has this merciful response. A lot of people would probably forgive once. Some people would forgive twice, but not a lot of people would forgive seven times. But then Jesus comes back at him and is like, not seven times, but 70 times seven, or 77. He's not saying like, once you get to 490 times of forgiving someone, you can stop after that. But he's just setting this precedent of like, there shouldn't be a limit to the forgiveness that we extend to people. And so then while Peter is still recovering from his hurt pride, Jesus tells a story. So going into verse 23, Jesus says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Okay, we're going to stop there again. So we got some players introduced, some people. We got this king and this servant who owes the king tons and tons of debt. So it says 10,000 talents. And when I was doing research, a lot of scholars will say that one talent is roughly, it can be up to 20 years' wages for someone. So one talent could be about 20 years' wages for that time. But this guy owed 10,000 talents. That's hundreds of lifetimes of debt that he's accumulated. And the only way to get to that place is like foolishness, reckless behavior, bad decisions, mistakes. So he's really gotten him into this mess and he's stuck. He knows it. The king knows it. Everyone knows it. And he knows that he can't pay it back. So his solution is to come to the king and to just beg, to grovel, like maybe he'll give me more time. But we know that more time wouldn't have been able to cancel that much debt. There's no way he could have paid that off. And there's no way. And more time probably would have just gotten him more debt based on his track record. And so he comes to the king begging for him to be given more time. And the king, I mean, obviously he's a merciful king. We know that just by the fact that this guy is still standing with this much debt. So maybe he's just hoping that the king will have this mercy on him. And it says that the king took pity on him. That's the word in the English translation. And I was looking into that word, and the Greek word is splaxinosmai. that's the word. It's a kind of hard to say. I might have butchered that. But it conveys this like deep visceral compassion, like this deep movement of someone towards another person. So it's not pity in the sense of like, oh, you know, like I feel bad for him, like he's messed up. It's like his heart breaks for this man. He is moved towards compassion for this man who has a ton of stuff against him. And so, yeah, the king moves in this way. And then what does he do? He cancels the debt completely. Like this mountains and mountains of debt that this man has acquired is canceled in a moment because of the king's compassion that he had for this servant. And I just wonder, like, what did the servant do? Did he like fall on his face crying? Did he rejoice? Did he like run home and tell his wife, who was probably thinking like our whole lives are about to change? She's about to go to jail. I'm about to go to be sold into slavery. Like what did he do? But whatever he did, it really didn't last long. Let's keep reading. It says, but when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Okay, what? So this guy is like freed, canceled of all this debt that has just been impossible to pay back. And then this guy owes him 100 silver coins and he assaults him. He throws him into prison. Like it just doesn't make sense when you're reading it. But then when you look at how much money that was, he did owe him a considerable amount of money. 100 silver coins was about 100 days' wages, so like a coin a day. So that's over 3 months of work. Like I'd be pretty mad if someone owed me 3 months of my salary and I didn't have it. I would want them to pay me back, and I bet all of us would. So it is a considerable amount of debt to him, but nothing compared to the debt that he had against the king. And you would think, because of what he experienced, that he would be able to have mercy on this servant who came to him. But he didn't let that incredible gift that he had received from the king reach his heart, transform him, change him to where he could give that same gift of grace to others. So then it says, then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? And in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart. Like, wow. What a sad ending to that story. Like, it's a beautiful story of the king's forgiveness. It's a beautiful story of his grace and compassion of canceling the debt. And then this guy ruins it by withholding that from someone else. And it just ends in such a sad way. You're like, ah, oh, like it's just unsatisfying. You wanted him to forgive this man. We see in this passage that forgiveness is important to God. It matters to him whether we forgive or don't forgive. And that he wants his children to walk in forgiveness. And that brings us to our first point, which will be up on the screen, that forgiveness is the way of a believer. So first of all, we are forgiven in Christ. That's part of how it's the way of a believer. The first servant, he had compiled these mountains and mountains of debt. It was impossible to pay off that debt. He knew it, the king knew it, everyone knew it. And his only hope was the mercy of the king. And that's a pretty good like picture of our standing with God. We talked about it this morning. Like we have acquired mountains and mountains of debt against God. And our sin, we've tried to keep the law, we've tried to be good maybe, but we can't do it. And we acquire this debt against God that just grows and grows and grows. And our sin against God, our debt against God is way worse than any financial debt we could get in someone else. And it's immeasurable because he is infinitely perfect. So we deserve to be in debtor's prison just like this unmerciful servant. We deserve to pay off the debt, but we can never pay it off. But God, just like this merciful king, is merciful, way more merciful than any king could ever be, and he's moved to compassion for us. And he made a way for us to be forgiven, for us to have our debt canceled, for us to walk in freedom and mercy. And it is just such an incredible gift. Like, what a miracle. I was just reminded of that so much as we were singing this morning. Like, this is just miraculous. Like, we do not deserve to have this debt canceled. And the thing is, like, in the story, the king took the hit. Like, the money didn't just disappear. It wasn't like he just got the money when he canceled the debt, but he was out that much money. And in our relationship with the Lord and our relating to him and our sin against him, our God took the hit. Jesus took the hit on the cross. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "For he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." So he's made a way for us to be fully forgiven. He's made a way for us to cry out for mercy and receive his mercy. He's canceled all past debts and all future debts. And God has moved with compassion for us and towards us and just totally lifted off the debt that we owe. I was wondering, like, what did the servant think as he was watching the debt grow? Like, I was thinking, like, what did he think when it was released? But, I mean, this was years of acquiring debt. Like, did he feel the anxiety, constant anxiety, watching his debt increase, 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 and knowing that it would come back to bite him? Like, did he just feel that tension of, like, at any moment I could just be thrown into prison, lose everything I know? I bet he felt shame for like even letting himself get to that place in the first time, like, or the first place. Like, he was stuck in this place and it was his fault that he was there. So he probably felt fear, he probably felt shame, he probably felt anxiety, tension with his wife, tension with his friends, with his family. And what relief he must have felt as the king looked at him and said, like, "You are forgiven. Like, go in peace. You don't have to carry this debt anymore. You don't have to carry this weight, this anxiety, this shame, everything that's on you." And this is our story. We walked in shame. If we're in Christ, we walked in fear. We walked in tension. We walked in guilt. And Jesus looked at us and said, "You are forgiven. Go in peace. Go and sin no more. Live in freedom. There's no condemnation for you." So it's just beautiful to see our story in this story with Christ. And so we forgiveness is the way of a believer because we are forgiven in Christ, but also in how we follow him in forgiving others is the other side of that. So now that we have been forgiven in Christ, now we follow in his way of forgiveness. 2 Corinthians 5, it talks about how we have been made new, and now we have the ministry of reconciliation. Like, when we're in Christ, we take on the same mantle of his mission to reconcile the world to himself. And part of that is his mission of forgiveness. So we are following him in that. So the servant who was forgiven of much was changed. I don't know how long he walked in that, but it obviously didn't last. Maybe he felt even like a little bit unworthy. And we see in here that Jesus invites us regularly to follow him in his teaching. Like in Luke 6, we're told to bless those who curse us. In Ephesians 4, it talks about how the church should be a place of forgiveness where we're bearing with each other, having compassion for each other. He talks about in Matthew 5 how we are to go the extra mile to those who hurt us and to turn the other cheek. And so as we are forgiven of all of our debts, we have a responsibility and a command to do the same. And what a testimony of someone transformed by God if they're able to forgive. Like, forgiveness is not a natural thing. I mean, if you've ever seen two kids, like one who wrongs the other, and you try to make them forgive and make up, like, it's not a natural thing for us from the beginning. And it feels on paper like it shouldn't work out. It's not always satisfying for us when we forgive those who have hurt us. But it's a testimony as we're following Christ of the great forgiveness he has had in us. So the first servant, he received his forgiveness, relief, freedom, but he didn't let it transform him. He could have. He could have gone that extra step and released the guy who owed him money, but he didn't. And it stopped with him, and he didn't live an action or live a life worthy of the gift that he had received. So the first point, forgiveness is the way of a believer, so that's part of it. We walk in obedience to him because we have received the forgiveness. But also, forgiveness brings freedom. This is a whole other side to forgiveness. So it's not only something that we should do because we're trying to be obedient to Christ and we want to walk in a way worthy of him, but it's actually something that is good for us. So God, when he created us, he didn't just create us like with our physical body. He created us with a soul. He created us as spiritual beings. And just as our physical body can get wounded, we can break bones, we can get bruises, cuts, our soul can get wounded as well. And it does get wounded. And so forgiveness, or he has provided healing for us, and forgiveness is a means to that healing and wholeness. So forgiveness brings freedom, and it brings freedom through healing. And this goes against our natural feelings. Like, some of you have been hurt deeply. Forgiveness doesn't feel like it should bring healing. It doesn't feel like a release. It doesn't feel like a weight lifted off. Some of you are living with, like, just daily memories of pain from the past, from things that people have done. And I assume that there's people in here who just don't want to forgive because the pain is too heavy. It's too much. And choosing not to forgive, it sometimes feels like a way of not letting your offender off the hook. It feels like a way of like holding on to the hope of justice and retribution, and not giving up, or giving up on hope and desire for justice. Sometimes it feels like we need to heal before we can forgive, and that's a holdup of like, we feel like we should get things right before we even take this step of forgiveness. I feel like that's where I was at for so long in my journey of forgiveness that the Lord has had me on, of like feeling like I had to just get more healing. Like maybe if I was healed more or was at a better place with this, then I can forgive. So I was waiting for that. Neil Anderson, he's a gifted writer. He's walked with many people through this into healing. He says, we don't heal to forgive, but we forgive to heal. Healing doesn't precede forgiveness. In fact, forgiveness actually paves the way for then God's healing to come through on the other side of it. And when we're forgiving, it's not like we're saying, like, it's not a big deal. Like, they didn't mean it. It's not a problem. Like, I'm just letting them off the hook. It's not doing that. It's actually the opposite. It's saying, like, this person hurt me. Like, I have been wounded by them. It has affected me. And it's taking that, but then releasing them into God's hands in forgiveness. So it's not writing it off. It's not making it like it's not a big deal. Like, you still feel the weight of what happened, but it's releasing that to God. So unforgiveness is actually like a good visual, I feel like, in my mind. It's like you're holding on super tight to the offense. Like your hands are gripping, your teeth are clenched, your back is tight. You're like holding on to the pain that has been caused to us. Like that's unforgiveness. But then when we forgive, it's releasing. And there's like a physical release to the Lord of saying, like, I'm not going to hold on to this anymore. Like, they hurt me, but this is yours to deal with, and this is yours to heal. And I'm sure many of us have felt that, like, tension of holding on, gripping, feeling the weight. I know I sure have. So forgiveness, it brings healing, and it also frees us from bitterness. This goes along with healing. And there's a saying that I bet a lot of you guys have heard, that unforgiveness is like drinking poison but expecting the other person to die. Have y'all heard that? So, okay. So it's kind of silly, but that's exactly what it is. When we're harboring unforgiveness, it may do nothing to the offender, to the person who hurt us. But in us, it's like tearing us up from the inside. We become bitter, and bitterness just takes root in us. And it's like allowing the offense almost to happen over and over again as we're holding on to that unforgiveness. Aubrey and I were watching Loki the other day. Do we have any Marvel fans? Okay, yeah. Anyone watch Loki yet? Okay. In the first season, there's a episode and a scene where Loki is put in a time loop of a pain that came against him. It was a painful memory, and it was to get him ready for interrogation. He's put in this time loop, and at first he's like replaying this this painful memory. It keeps happening again and again, and he's like making light of it, like, haha, yeah, it wasn't that bad. But by the end of like hours of being in this time loop of this painful memory, he is on the ground, he's weakened, he's begging for it to stop. And this is kind of like what unforgiveness does to us. When we are holding on to this offense and to the offender, replaying it like, oh, if only I had done this, if only I could say this, if only I could do this to them to get back. It's really just replaying it. We feel like it's us having control on it and it's helping, but actually it's causing us more harm and it's weakening us. It destroys us from the inside out. Anger, it may last for a time. It may be here right after an offense, but can move on. Frustration as well. But bitterness is something that lingers when we just keep replaying and replaying and replaying the offense and holding on to unforgiveness. And it's so easy to slip into for all of us. We all slip into it at times. But Jesus shows us a better way in how he modeled his relationships with people. He did not walk in bitterness. We see multiple times where Jesus is hurt deeply, like Peter, his best friend, betrayed him. Jesus didn't hold bitterness towards Peter. He didn't like cast him away once he came back from the dead and was like, Peter, I don't want to talk to you anymore. But he actually reinstated him as a leader in the emerging church. And then with the Pharisees, they had constant attacks that they were throwing at him. And he didn't, you know, cut them out, condemn them in a way of like hatred and like totally writing them off. But instead, in his death, we see him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Like, they hurt him, they cast insults at him, but he forgave them and led in the way that we should as well. And you might be saying, like, I'm not Jesus, I can't do that. But that's true, but he gives us power through his Spirit to walk in that way. And as we call on him and ask for help in this, I mean, this is not a thing that we can do in our own strength. That's the point. We need the Spirit at work in us to walk in this way of forgiveness, asking for his life to be made manifest through us. So then as we step into forgiveness, it's releasing from this bitterness that it's so easy to hold on to. Another way that forgiveness brings freedom is that it protects us from like demonic strongholds. And that there's a spiritual component, spiritual aspect to unforgiveness that I feel like we can kind of ignore easily. First Peter, it says that the devil is prowling around like a lion looking for people to devour. Paul talks about how there's spiritual realities, principalities, powers, and that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And unforgiveness, it's an open wound. It's a great way for the enemy to use that against us, to keep us in pain, keep us in bondage, keep us in brokenness. Ephesians 4, 26 through 27, Paul says to not let the sun go down while you're still angry and to give the devil a foothold. So when we walk in unforgiveness and bitterness, the enemy can easily weaponize it against us. He doesn't play fair. He takes our pain and uses it against us. And unforgiveness is like keeping that wound open and kind of holding back and pushing away healing. And it can result in spiritual bondage for our lives. It's not punishment from God. It's just the natural consequence of walking in unforgiveness and holding on to the bitterness, the pain, instead of releasing the person, releasing the pain to God. I wanted to share a story that actually came from this past weekend. of seeing God actually at work in this way. So Aubrey and I, when we were at the Young Adult Conference, we were serving on the prayer team. And so there was a prayer room set aside in case people ever wanted to go and just get prayer or just pray alone. I was talking with a friend in the prayer room at one point, and this woman came up to us and asked for prayer. So we sat down with her, and she began sharing how 3 years ago when her and her now husband got engaged, he immediately slipped into a deep depression, like just a really dark place, really dark brokenness, and had stayed in there for a long time. He was still in that place. They'd been married for 2 years at this point. And she was just talking about the pain of like seeing it eat him away, but also the pain of like him not fulfilling his vows and things that she had felt like she was unloved or apathetic and just wrestling with this. And had talked about how she felt unheard, how when she would go to people, they would either say, oh, just leave him, just divorce him, like cast it off. Or they would say, just deal with it. It's not a big deal. Like, this is marriage. And she was like, neither of those really felt satisfying to her. Neither of those felt like what God wanted for her. And so they had actually been separated for 2 months at this time. It was a serious situation. There was a lot of brokenness on both sides. And she didn't know why she was receiving prayer. She was just like, I need God into this. So my friend and I, we started praying and just asked Jesus to step into the pain. Not knowing what he wanted to do, but just trusting that the Spirit would speak to her, minister healing. And he began to give her peace, and she sensed that Jesus was inviting her to confess some things. And so she started just confessing out like ways that she had had bitterness towards her husband and ways that she felt like she wanted him to feel the pain that she had felt because she felt like he wasn't fulfilling his vows. And she confessed manipulation and control and all these things that God was bringing up, showing that there were parts that she was playing into this. And as she confessed this stuff, it became apparent that there was something deeper, there was another step, that there was unforgiveness there, and she needed to forgive. So we asked her, we were like, would you be willing to step into forgiveness? And I mean, she was praying, her eyes were closed, but when we said that, her whole, like, demonstrated earlier, her whole body tensed up. She looked angry, and she was like, yes, but give me a moment. And she was sitting there for 5 minutes just wrestling, looking angry, looking like she couldn't get through it. And we just prayed silently, like, Jesus, you have power. Would you, like, help her do this? Finally, she said, God, I choose to forgive my husband. I choose to release him to you, to not hold on to this and want him to feel the same pain that he caused me and not want him to stay in this place like I've wanted him to. And as she did this, she just wept, like tears coming down. She released it, like, physically just as much as she was doing verbally. And there was breakthrough in her life. And afterwards, the way she was talking about him changed. Like, she came in talking about divorce and pain. And afterwards, she was telling us fun stories of things they had done together, things that made her fall in love with him. And it was just this beautiful example of, like, that was the key in her story at that time. I mean, there's more that the Lord will walk through with them. But she's walking away knowing that his strength is made perfect in her weakness, that he has healing, and she has hope for her and her husband now. And it was just cool to see how, like, there's a lot of brokenness there, but she had, in the process of being hurt and seeing him hurting, held unforgiveness that she needed to release. That was a breakthrough moment where then God ministered his healing and showed her his hope and his life, and what life could look like for them. So it was just, I mean, that's the kind of healing that Jesus can bring. It doesn't solve the problem, and she didn't leave with a changed situation, but she was changed. She was transformed, even though the situation wasn't fixed. So forgiveness, it can bring a lot of healing. It can bring a lot of freedom from bitterness, freedom from attack, and bring us into the fullness that Christ has for us. He's done the work in forgiving and breaking strongholds, but we have to obey in releasing and in forgiveness. So the third point that brings us to that, that forgiveness is a choice, that it's an act of the will. It's not something that just happens. It's not something that God does to us, but it's something he does in us and through us that we have to choose and use our will to agree, like what Jesse was saying earlier. We have to agree with the truth. We have to walk in the obedience that he has for us. So I mean, I have experienced a lot of hurt in my life, just like everyone has. We all raised our hands. And I had a long journey of forgiveness and the Lord working that in me. And still, I mean, it's still a journey. I feel like forgiveness is something that starts, but it keeps going, and you keep walking in that. But for years, I waited until God would make me forgive. Like, I waited until I felt like there was a moment where he did it in me, he did it through me. Like, I didn't have a choice in the matter. Like, I don't know what I was expecting, but I was expecting some more level of healing or compassion that would make me forgive rather than taking a step and actually walking in forgiveness. And it took people speaking into my life. It took the leadership voice of Jesus to show me that I had to choose to forgive before I felt like it. Forgiveness isn't something that's just like warm feelings that comes on us and then, oh, we've forgiven, like it's over. But it's something that we wrestle through. It's something that we choose to walk in obedience to Jesus to do. And if we wait until we feel ready to forgive, we may be waiting forever. We may be waiting for something that will never come because we may never feel ready to forgive. But we can walk in obedience, and when we walk in obedience, Jesus can break off the chains of unforgiveness that we are holding. And so it's a choice we make, and no one can choose it for us. There's also layers of forgiveness that we need to go through. We may make that initial choice, but then afterwards, Jesus has more for us. He wants us to surrender more hurt. He wants us to give more to him. He wants us to bless those who curse us, and he wants us to walk in that. And so there's a choice, but it comes and is followed by a number of choices after that to continue to walk in that forgiveness. So if forgiveness is not an emotion, it's not a state of being, it's not something we can just stir up in ourselves, like, how do we actually forgive? What are some things that can help us? Because we're talking a lot about, like, oh, you just got to choose to forgive, but how do you even get to that place when you've been hurt? There's a really great resource. It's called Soul Care. It's a book written by Rob Reamer. There's a lot in there of just walking through healing, walking through fullness in Christ and, like, giving stuff to him. But there's a chapter on unforgiveness, and he has a, like, pretty practical process of things to think through and give to the Lord in forgiving that I just wanted to share with you guys because it's been super helpful for me. So the first thing is to remember God's grace. And this is the start of it all. I mean, this is where we started this morning in worship. This is where the passage started that we were looking at. We have to remember God's grace and start by that. Before we ever even say, I choose to forgive, to remember, like, God has forgiven us of so much. He has lifted off an incredible debt that we would be paying back forever, for all of eternity, if he hadn't done it for us. And so it's good to start by just being reminded of that. Like, remember where you were. Remember the offense, the enmity you were with God, and what he has forgiven you of. So that's a good place to start before doing anything else. And just thanking him and praising him for his forgiveness. And then there's another step that's helpful in forgiveness of actually blessing those who curse you. We're told to do this in Luke 6. This is a command from Jesus, an invitation of Jesus, and it's actually good for us. He does something in our hearts as we bless and pray for those who have hurt us. And it's a pretty good mark of forgiveness at work in someone if they're able to pray for the person who has hurt them. And this doesn't mean, like, I pray that, God, you would let them feel what they did to me and feel the weight of it and, I don't know, suffer. But it's actually like praying God's blessing on them, praying for God to work in them, maybe turn them back to repentance towards him. It's difficult. It's a thing that we struggle with, but it's something that God blesses us in as well as we break that off, and it helps us to walk further in that forgiveness from unforgiveness. Another thing, if you're, like, stuck in forgiveness and you can't keep going, you're struggling to make that choice to forgive, this is something that is not the easiest, and it's not simple, but it's to see yourself like your offender. Now, this doesn't mean, like, oh, I would do the same thing that they did to me, because there are some of you, some of us who have been hurt deeply, and we would never do that. And so not to downplay what has happened, the pain that you have experienced, but just to be reminded that we also, in our pain, in our sinfulness, in our brokenness, hurt others. That we also have done terrible things and could do absolutely terrible things left to our own. And it's just, this is just, if you're getting stuck, if you're like, I can't forgive, I can't see how I can release them, to just ask God to help you see your own sin and where you have hurt others and where you've been broken, release that to him and release them to him as well. Another thing is to process through forgiveness. So forgiveness, it is a process as much as a choice. And I kind of talked about this earlier. There's layers to forgiveness. You may make that first choice of like, okay, I choose to forgive, but from that point, there's a lot more to walk in. There's a lot more hurt that might come up later where you're like, oh my goodness, there's more that I'm holding on to. I need to release this to God. Or maybe you get to a point where you need to bless the person, and that's what Jesus is having you do. Or maybe it's just that you have to daily choose to forgive them over and over and over again and continue to walk in that. And not go back to unforgiveness and wanting revenge or whatever unforgiveness brings. Or maybe you need to talk with someone. It's not a necessarily a one and done type thing is what I'm saying. That there's more that Jesus can do in you and more that he has for us as we forgive and continue to walk in that. And then the last just helpful perspective to have is that we need to remember that God is redemptive. I think this is key in all of this, that God will make things right, that vengeance is the Lord's, but also God is near to the brokenhearted. He has promised that. God has promised to walk us into healing as we come to him, and as we lean on him, and as we seek him for healing. He can take the worst of stories and bring restoration. He can bring redemption. That's the hope of the gospel, that we can be transformed, that we can be healed. Actually, we're going to talk about that in a few weeks of healing and what God can do in a soul that has been wounded. Sometimes it feels like we can't forgive because we're like, God, I can't let them off the hook and I sit here and have to deal with the consequences. And I sit here and have to deal with the pain. Like, how could I release this person, but yet I have to walk and what their sin did against me and the pain that I've been left with. But the hope that we have is that that's not God's heart for you to just sit in that pain and never receive healing. But he wants to walk with us into healing, restoring our brokenness, restoring what has been stolen from us, restoring what has been inflicted against us, and bring us into the wholeness and fullness that he has purchased for us on the cross. And so I think even if that's just something that we can leave with, is that there is hope of healing. and holding on to unforgiveness isn't going to help that healing. But as we release it to him, he meets us in our wounding, he meets us in our pain, and brings us into greater wholeness. So in all of that, we've talked about how forgiveness is the way of a believer. So there's an aspect of it that is just obedience. Like, we need to follow in Jesus's way because he said we need to forgive. But then there's an aspect of the fact that he brings healing through forgiveness, that he brings release through forgiveness, that he brings wholeness through forgiveness. And then that forgiveness is a choice. It's an act of the will. And so today we want to have time and make space to respond to that, to move into forgiveness in whatever way that the Lord has been stirring in us. I know, like, even just me, as I was studying this and preparing for this message, like, God was bringing up even more ways that I need to walk in forgiveness, even more ways that I need to continue on into this. And so the Lord is stirring. He's bringing stuff up, and we want to listen to his word and step into forgiveness. So we're going to have a time where we can respond. Jesse, if you would come up. And Jesse's just going to play. It's going to be quiet and just have space to deal with whatever the Lord is doing in your heart, whatever he's brought up through this message or through the word or whatever the Spirit's been speaking to you. Maybe today is the first step of choosing to forgive. Like, there's something or someone that you've been holding on to unforgiveness for years, for a long time, maybe not for a long time, but the Lord is bringing up that you need to say, okay, God, today I choose to forgive blank for blank because it made me feel blank. And that's actually a good model for forgiveness. If you don't know what to say, just name who the person is, what they did, and how it's impacted you, how it's made you feel, the hurt that's come up from it, and release that to Jesus. And also, it's key to say, it's important to say, I choose to forgive. Not like, I want to forgive, or help me to forgive, but to like make the decision, like, God, I'm choosing to forgive. I may not feel any different right now. I may not like have this cathartic, dramatic moment of life change, but I'm choosing to walk in obedience and forgive, trusting Jesus that you will do the rest. So maybe that's you today, or maybe you have forgiven, but there's another layer, like we were talking about. Maybe there's something else that the Lord is bringing up, that more hurt, more pain that you need to release to him. Maybe he's asking you to bless whoever has hurt you, and just pray for them and pray for God to work in them and take a step in that. Maybe you need to confess hurtful things that you've said against someone who hurt you or who brought pain into your life. Or maybe you have never received God's gift of forgiveness. Maybe this is like a moment to be like, Jesus, I am still carrying that debt. I'm still walking in that pain, that anxiety, that shame, and I need you to lift that off, and I want to come and follow you today. So there's a number of just ways that the Lord might be stirring you. Maybe it's none of that. Maybe he's doing something completely different. But we just want to have space to take a few minutes and just pray. Ask the Lord, like, what would you have me do? What is on your heart for me in this moment? What hurt do you want to heal? What wound do you want to expose? What unforgiveness do you want to break? And allow him to just point you to whatever that is and follow in obedience. So Jesus, I just ask in this time, Lord, you have given us such a great forgiveness. You have canceled our debt. And Lord, we just ask that you would move in us right now. Would you strengthen our wills, strengthen our hearts to be able to choose to forgive and walk in whatever you have? Father, would you soften our hearts to step into whatever you're inviting us into? Jesus, we look to you knowing that we have to choose to forgive, but God, it's you who gives us the strength and the power and the ability to forgive. So God, would you rest on us right now? Help us to do whatever you want us to do, to follow whatever you want us to follow. We look to you and listen to you right now. In Jesus' name.